Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008. South African journalists have no shortage of stories. The news cycle in South Africa is quick. It's to the point. It moves on. We've seen stories that have broken that are clear disinformation used as a means to purport a specific narrative or agenda. But in the most, our journalists in South Africa have proven themselves to be some of the best, if not the best, in the world. Joining me now is William Bird, Director at Media Monitoring Africa. William, a very good morning to you.
Hi, good morning, Chad. Thanks for having me on the program.
William, despite the fact that we have such incredible journalists in South Africa and they've got so much to report on, do you think perhaps that the reporting has become somewhat concentrated purely on what's happening in respect of state capture, tender fraud, corruption, and other stories that would be of interest may get reported on briefly, may only appear as headlines on social media, and don't get followed up on?
Yeah, you know, this is the problem of living in a country that's completely mad all the time. There's so many things and so many issues and so many stories we can and should be reporting on. And the problem is that our journalism is facing a crisis, not just in South Africa, but globally, a crisis of sustainability posed by digital, the emergence of digital and a lack of sustainable funding. Our public broadcasters, on its knees in relation to a sustainable funding model. And the impact of that is that you've got fewer journalists. If you look, they did the research in the States, it's something like 3-1 or 4-1 PR people against actual journalists. And that was about 5 years ago. So I'm sure it's, I'm sure it's a whole lot worse now. So with fewer journalists and in a country like South Africa where we've got so many issues and things to be reporting on, it makes it that much harder. Also, a lot of the things we're reporting on require nuance. They require a deeper understanding. You know, understanding what's happening in the early childhood development sector requires someone that actually knows what the hell is going on there. It's not something that's just easy to dip into and out of. And because of that, you tend to see that they follow the agenda that's set by often the politicians, the political party, the big events of the day. And that results in that kind of reporting that you've just spoken about, which is fine to a degree, because of course we need to know about those things. The problem is that it's giving us a bit of a skewed picture of what's really going on in South Africa, because there is a lot of doom and gloom and there is a lot of bad things out there, make no doubt. But there's also a lot of things that are working. There's also a lot of sense of people being resilient, of people making do, of people making systems work even when perhaps they shouldn't. So, you know, it's quite a difficult thing, and our journalists face an incredibly difficult task, really.
We've seen a lot of collaboration between the investigative media houses, not just on a local basis, but also with their international counterparts when it comes to analyzing such major data dumps such as the Panama Papers, etc. Every single one of these investigative journalists wants that scoop. Even although they're working as a team, that scoop is still what everybody's aiming for. And it seems to me that we're losing track of the stories that we used to follow, the stories that are community orientated, the stories that are based on crime affecting different communities in different ways. Everything seems to be centered around the potential for a failed state, the fact that our public purse has been plundered. And I used to rely a lot on our community knock and drops. Those knock and drops were great, but even those titles seem to be dwindling. They're being consolidated. So where one specific region had maybe four knock and drops, they've consolidated into one. And then all it seems to be now is a vehicle for advertisements for the local shopping centers. You're not finding much community content in those knock and drops. How do we go back to that original style of community reporting? It's all fair and well that we need these journalists at the top breaking the big stories, but what about the local stories?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, it's an excellent point, and that's why you've got the stations like this. You know, you've got Chai FM out there doing things, telling stories, reporting on issues that few others aren't, or that most others aren't actually reporting on, and sharing and talking about issues that others aren't. So you need that kind of diversity of media. The reality is that local journalism has to find different ways and means of sustaining itself. So there are a number of small commercial publishers that are doing these things. It's just that their ability to get their views, their stories and issues out is even more radically reduced when they're in that double bind. They're facing that issue of saying, well, you have to move to digital, but you can't move to digital because much of your audience isn't there yet. And more importantly, you're not going to be sustainable if you make that shift. So they really are caught between a rock and a hard place. This is why it's such an exciting time actually in terms of what we're going to do about this. How do we see and value and appreciate the real role that media can and is playing and make sure that we protect it precisely for those reasons that you spoke about. People do need a sense of what's happening in their area. They need a sense of what's happening with crimes that they hear about. Because as you say, the problem is if you just keep reporting, oh, 5 people murdered, homes, home invasion, etc., and then you never follow that up to know if people were arrested, if people went to jail. If you don't do that, all people ever get the sense of is that bad things are happening and nothing's being done. And that then feeds into exactly what you said before, which is that narrative that, you know, this is becoming a failed state. And you know, there's a role that media have to play to combat that, to make sure that people understand why democracy is worth developing, building and fighting for. And media need to do that because it's in their own self-interest to do it, because if they don't have a democracy, they're not going to exist, most of them.
So William, you made a very interesting point about community radio, and what a lot of people don't realize is community radio is massive in South Africa. Radio as a whole has 40 million listeners, and there's close on 300 radio stations, the majority of which are community. But those community stations don't have the budgets to go out. They don't have the advertisers to be able to allow them time on air to be able to talk about the issues that impact on those communities. What we need to see with those community stations, and the same with those knock and drop newspapers, is a concerted effort to moving back towards reporting on community-orientated news. I think we are getting tired and frustrated about seeing news on a national basis, which to a large extent is depressing, but seeing it across the board. Every newspaper will be reporting on the same major issue, and we're losing track of that sense of community. And I think it's so important that we do that. An organization such as yours, how would you go about encouraging community reporting?
So look, I mean, a lot of these things you have to fix. Well, some of the problems are structural, which is to say you've got to look at what's happening in the environment that allows or encourages these media entities to exist. So some of it is about policy, about getting the MDDA to make sure that they're putting their resources in the right kind of places to support these things. Often, you know, we're doing the wrong thing and giving them training on areas that they don't need, when in fact what they need is training on sustainability. They need training of some of their basic managers. Because when we've done research on this, in the last few years, what you find is that there are community stations that exist in communities where really they shouldn't exist. That is to say, there's very little economic activity. There's no advertising there, and yet they continue to exist. So what is it that they're doing that enables them to do that? And what you find is it's because they've got those relationships with their communities. They've got, you know, they've got a good relationship with their audience, and that's going to be the way forward. So it's not necessarily something that the state or that the MDDA or other bodies even can enforce, if you like. That's got to come from the communities and to build up those audiences. And all the successful radio stations, small community stations, for example, or small commercial print newspapers, the thing that keeps them going is that they've got their good relationships with their audiences. They know them. They're in touch with them. And the moment they lose that, then they start to fail. And when they try and become big commercial entities, then they usually fail because they lose touch with their audience. So that's about learning. It's about skills of understanding how to keep local media going, surviving, and in some instances thriving. And that's just one part of that big messy picture, which is how do we report and understand what's going on in our country all the time in a way that, you know, doesn't leave people feeling that there's nothing that they can do, that they're powerless, and that everything is going to hell in a handbasket.
Well, William,
in reality, it isn't really.
I think you've summed it up absolutely perfectly. I look forward to chatting again soon. And William Bird is the Director of Media Monitoring Africa.
Thanks so much.